B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Mike and Ben from Royal Blood are up first on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Of course, when the pandemic hit, these guys got bored. And what do they do when they get bored?
You know what we did about that? We did what we always do when we get bored. We make music.
Music, music, music.
Mike's been sober since 2019. Did he have the urge to drink during the pandemic?
I mean, that's a big question. It's a long, long answer.
They scrapped over 50 songs in preparation to make this record, but some of those songs go on the scrap heap and could be used later.
For example, you know, there is a track on the album which came about exactly like that, you know?
Then Nick Dees, a guitarist for the band Hold On Hollywood, joins us later as we shine a spotlight on some newer bands. It's the guys from Royal Blood and Nick Dees from Hold On Hollywood today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock.
Talkin' Rock.
Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Back again for another edition of Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. Royal Blood coming up. Mike and Ben here in just a few minutes. And also Nick Dees, like I said in the intro, he's from a band called Hold On Hollywood out of Houston, Texas. We'll talk with Nick coming up here in a little bit. I think periodically through some of the podcasts coming up here in the next few months, maybe before the end of the year, we'll throw on some new bands at the end so you guys get a feel for some different things that are out there as well as some of the bands you know and love. I know I just talked to Jack Russell from Great White. And he's got a lot to talk about, including his sobriety, a recent surgery he just had, new music, singing Led Zeppelin songs, and a ton more. So we'll get that interview up here on the podcast coming up next week. Jack's always cool to talk to. And yeah, he's over 5 years sober now as well. Mike from Royal Blood is sober for at least a year or so. We talk about that coming up here, and we talk about the new single, Troubles Coming, and more today with the guys from Royal Blood. This was a Zoom call. They were overseas. I was right here in the Motor City, and here's what it sounded like today on Talkin' Rock.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey. All right. Mike and Ben, how you guys doing? It's Meltdown here in Detroit. How's things, man?
We're doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Jerry Cabrera forced me to say hello to you guys for him, so there you go.
Oh, amazing. We love that.
Yeah, there you go. So the new single, Troubles Coming, is out right now. And first of all, talk about the upcoming record. I think I read somewhere you guys had like 50 songs you guys discarded, is just scrapped. What happened with the writing process for this album?
So I think, you know, as soon as we began exploring what to do for this record, you know, it was it was exactly that. It was an exploration. We were on a voyage of discovery. We were trying to find something that felt fresh, to be honest with you, and felt a little bit different from anything we'd done before. But the real difficulty was finding out how to do that without losing our mojo and without kind of destroying the chemistry that we have. And without losing any of the edges or the rock and roll. So once we found this kind of this kind of sound that you're hearing on Troubles Coming, it really turned us on. It really, really did. And from that point onwards, we were like, you know what? We know where to go. So we got on that ship. We hoisted the sail and we went straight to Damn Sunset.
Now, I've talked to James Hetfield about this before, that sometimes they take some of those old songs that they were working on and they kind of put them in the scrap heap for later on. Could some of the stuff that you guys worked on pop up later on?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You know what? There's been a few riffs that have been lying around for quite some time now. And, exactly what you're saying, really. You know, they're in the bank, and then when you need them, they're there. There's been great songs have actually come of the process that you're talking about, because what it's like, how can I explain this? It's almost like having multiple puzzle pieces. And sure, you don't know what the puzzle is going to look like yet, but you have pieces and there's lots of them. So for example, you may have piece A, maybe like a kind of heavy riff. Then piece B, maybe like a softer riff. And then piece C, you know, it may not be a riff at all. It might just be a drum beat. We're sitting around. We're wondering what to do. Suddenly, we've got these puzzle pieces and we're putting them together. For example, you know, there is a track on the album which came about exactly like that, you know. Because there are times, you know, where you're thinking, what are we going to bloody do? You know, what are we going to do? And I look at Ben, he shrugs his shoulders, and then he looks back at me.
Say, put it on the scrap heap.
Yeah, put it on the scrap heap. And, you know, I'm shrugging. There's a lot of shoulder shrugging, shall we say.
Shrugs.
We're trying to shrug it off, but it's not going anywhere. So suddenly we look at these puzzle pieces. We're putting them together, and then, hey, presto,
put them on the scrap heap.
Put them on the scrap heap. But we actually don't call it the scrap heap. We call it the rad heap.
Yeah.
The rad heap. All right, there you go. So obviously this song, Trouble's Coming, is a little bit different from what you guys have done in the past. Was management or label the label surprised by some of the, you know, the pop elements in the latest song?
I think...
The label weren't really involved with the pop elements.
No, they weren't. It's all been on Zoom, and they didn't actually use their video, so we're unable to see their sort of physical reactions. But our A&R guy at one point did go, "Whoa!"
So we've heard this song. What does the rest of the record sound like?
The rest of the record is more kind of like acid jazz.
Acid jazz.
Jazzy acid.
Yeah, What you do is you take loads and loads of acid, and then you attempt to play jazz.
That's how jazz is about.
Yeah. It's like Dave Chappelle said, you know, we're like Evel Knievel, you know? You're here to see the attempt.
There you go. Exactly. So now let me get this straight. Let me see if my timeline is correct. You guys had a bunch of songs recorded. You guys kind of scrapped them. Then the pandemic hit, or as the pandemic hit, you scrapped the songs and started, and we were forced to write again?
Yes, that's 100% correct. We were actually in the middle of making the album. And, you know, there was a small television in the corner of the studio, which Ben found the remote to. Unfortunately, it had no batteries in, so we had to go and rummage around.
Yeah, bought batteries.
Once he found the batteries, put them in the remote, turn on the TV, hey, presto, guess
news.
What, guys? News. Dun, 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 look. So we're in the middle of lockdown.
We're
now.
Like, shit, what do we do?
What are we going to do? So what we ended up doing was going home, because that was the safest and most sensible thing to do. When we got home, we realized we're bored. Yes, we can't record, but we are bored. What are we going to do about that? You know what we did about that? We did what we always do when we get bored. We make music.
Music, music, music.
Riffs, melodies, lyrics.
Beats.
So all of that really came together behind closed doors and a few open ones. But obviously...
Mostly closed because of it was lockdown.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. Just within safely open doors. And speaking of open doors, when we see one, I'm now talking about metaphorical doors, we jump right through them. When we jumped through those doors, on the other side was great tunes. We came back to the studio with three new songs. They're probably the best songs we've ever written.
Thank you.
It was great. It was great. From a musical and creative perspective, lockdown was brilliant. From an emotional and just humanistic position, rather traumatic and unsettling.
Well, it forced you guys to write some jazz acid songs, so I can't wait to hear the rest of them. But, hey, Mike, let me ask you about this. Being sober since 2019, how did the pandemic affect you? Were there times where you thought you might spin out of control and get off the wagon, or was it just a smooth sailing for you?
I can never work out whether it's off or on the wagon.
Yeah.
I think that's where I've been going all these years. Am I on the wagon if I'm not drinking? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Whose wagon is it as well?
Yeah.
This means a 2020 kind of...
Also, being in a wagon is a weird place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, no wonder people are drinking.
Fucking hell.
Or off it.
Are you coming on the wagon?
Because if you're off... it's like the grass is always greener, you know? When you're on the wagon, you think, get me off this thing. When you're off it, you're like, that looks kind of fun being over there. In lockdown, was it hard to be sober? I mean, that's a big question. It's a long, long answer. But no, I found it okay. Because it's funny, going into lockdown, everyone's had to sort of, you know, it's been like a big long look in the mirror, but being sober is like lockdown every day.
That's a good answer. Yeah. I know a lot of, as a matter of fact, one of my friends in a band out here in Michigan just celebrated his 7th anniversary. So a lot of people can do it and do it. Hey, let me ask you guys about this, since you guys have been around now for closing on a decade. What does a success in the United States mean to a band like Royal Blood?
it depends really how you want to define success. The moment that we got to quit our regular day jobs and have the freedom to continue to create music, to us, we were like, we've made it. Anything beyond that is kind of is loose, really, and uncertain. So not something that we place too much value on.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to somebody about this just last week. I think I was in Nashville, and I don't know, your band name came up, and I got to be honest, I saw that Foo Fighters show when you guys opened up for that, and watching you guys from the front row was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. The band is so awesome live.
Thank you, man. Thank you. That was a great tour. That was a great, great tour. You know, kind of insane for us, you know, touring with a band like that, because, you know, we're huge, huge fans, and that's something that you... but something you don't even dream of because it seems so ridiculous.
Now, I think I read something about somewhere along the line years ago, and you probably talked about this a bunch of times, but you guys played like kind of like a, I don't know, like a private gig or something for like Jimmy Page or something backstage somewhere. Is that, did I read that right?
Sounds like some, a few lies on lies on lies on lies there. I'm not sure if any of that's true.
We didn't play a gig for Jimmy Page backstage. I can tell you that.
He did come. I know what's happened here. There's been a few wires crossed. He came backstage to a gig we were playing at, and we hung out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. I can see what happened. Yeah. Isn't it funny how, was it Winston Churchill that said, a lie will get around the world before the truth wants to put its pants on?
Well, when I put my pants on this morning, I never thought I'd hear a quote from Winston Churchill, but here we are.
Yeah. Worth also recognizing quickly now that the pants you're wearing are different to the pants that I'm wearing.
Pants is a strange thing because you're talking about trousers.
Exactly.
And you're talking about underwear.
So the irony is we still have our wires crossed. Hopefully not our pants crossed, though.
Yeah, you know, britches, right?
Exactly.
Britches. Yeah.
What are your guys' plans here? I mean, obviously, it's probably up in the air right now, but do you guys have anything set in stone as far as what you got going on with Royal Blood in the future?
We're getting pretty into golf.
Because it's outdoors.
Yeah.
And we can't play any gigs, so golf. It was either golf or bowling, and all the bowling alleys shut, so golf.
Are you guys really playing golf?
Yeah.
Giving it a go.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's mainly putting. Because no one trusts us with the swings that we got.
Yeah, exactly, You have to be careful out there.
Putting.
It's a gentleman's sport, never gentleman.
Well, you got to drive for show and putt for dough. Don't forget about that. You got to make sure you can putt.
Love that.
Taking that home with me.
You guys tell me Winston Churchill and I give you a stupid golf analogy. So, well, listen, you guys, Royal Blood, thanks so much for talking with me, Mike and Ben. I appreciate that. And we'll see you guys here next time back in the United States. And safe travels, and hopefully you'll see you sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, man. Great to chat.
Good talking to you guys. Thank you for the time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Like I said earlier, Nick Dees from the band Hold On Hollywood is going to wrap up the podcast today. It's a band out of Houston, Texas. They've been around since the early part of 2015. They've opened up for some pretty big bands, including guys from Puddle of Mud, Hinder, The Struts, Bad Flower, and Bon Jovi as well. We're going to get into that coming up here in just a few minutes as Nick called in and joined me. And here's what it sounded like today on Talkin' Rock. Hey, Nick, thanks for taking the time to talk with me. How's things with you, man?
Oh, it's going great, man. Just trying to stay busy. You know, it's a weird world these days, but, making the best of it.
Yeah, no doubt. It is it's a real world. I've been here a few times. There's no question about that. So what have you guys been doing to keep yourself busy?
We've been, trying to do more online things and reach out to radio and stuff like that. With the world, you know, being kind of shut down for live performances, has been kind of tough, you know. But we had the new release come out in February, and we've kind of just been trying to make that reach people through online means. So that's what has been our main focus these days.
Yeah, now as a younger band, a lot of people may not know you. So give me a little brief synopsis about your band and like tell people like kind of like, you know, where do you guys fit in the rock world?
It's interesting, man. We have a wide range of influences between the four of us. So our sound is really hard to pin down. You know, it's kind of, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, really.
Right.
A lot of people will compare us to a lot of different acts. So we just describe ourselves as a rock band. You know, we're a four-piece rock band. We got two guitars, you know, vocals and harmonies and bass and drums. You know, just as simple and plain as rock and roll gets. And we just like to write songs that I think people can move to. I like to say music should move you, either emotionally or physically. It should make you feel something, and you should connect with it, or it should make you want to dance. And that's what our music does for people. So if you like anything that you hear on the radio, we can probably fit in with it somewhere.
Yeah, now I saw a couple of videos from you guys. You guys had a chance to open up for Bon Jovi a couple of years ago?
Yes, we sure did.
Wow.
2018, that was super awesome.
Now, was that for like a bunch of dates or just a one-off?
It was just a one-off, man. He does a contest where he goes, and when they're on tour sometimes, I think he's done it three times now. Once, like I think, like in 2002, once in like 2016, and the one in 2018 that we won. And we won the Houston date where we're from. And it's super cool, man. He just allows a local band to come and open for him on every stop of the tour. So not only us, but like a lot of other bands got to have that really cool life-changing experience as well. I know for us, it really legitimately changed our lives. It really opened a lot of doors for us and made us a lot of good friends in some good places and did a lot for us. It was such a cool experience, man. He was such a cool guy.
And, of course, to see how that well-oiled machine works, it's like it puts things in a different perspective.
Oh yeah, man! It's a real big production they got going on there. That's a multi-million-dollar production alone, just to set up and, you know, tear down, traveling from city to city, to all the 18 wheelers they have. It's just it's a whole another level. You always think it's like, oh yeah, I kind of see how it is, but that's when you can really get back there, backstage, and seeing the sound check and all that kind of stuff. And it's massive. Under those stages is a whole entire another world. They got all these teams under the stage. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. So you got a chance to meet him then?
Yeah, he came out, he talked to us for a few minutes, took a picture with us, you know. I mean, he didn't have to do that, so it was really cool with him. We got to sit down and just chat some, and just he asked about the band, and, you know, got to meet us, shook our hands, and all that kind of stuff. So really, really cool guy.
Yeah, and that's a pretty cool platform for you guys to jump off of. So now you said you put a record out in February?
Yeah, February 14th on Valentine's Day, actually. It's called Love Stories. It's our second EP.
appropriate title, I suppose. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's our second EP, like I said. We had a lot of time between the release of that one and our first one. About 4 years. So it was a long time coming, a long time in the making. And I don't know why, all the different reasons it kind of got put off here and there, but we're really excited that it finally got to come out. We got Matt Nevesky from Blue Oxford, the bass player. We had him produce the record for us.
You kind of cut out a little bit. I'm sorry, you kind of cut out a little bit. So who did you have produce it?
Sorry, these freaking phones, man.
Yeah, you're good.
It was Matt Nevesky from Blue October. He's the bass player, and he has a studio here in Austin.
Okay.
Called Orb Studio. It's like an award-winning studio there, like best studio, you know, in Austin's like the live music capital of the world. So really cool, really good studio. And we went there and stayed for, like, you know, the better part of a week and made these four songs, the four original songs, that is, with him. And, you know, we also have our cover of Any Money's Taking Home Man on there, but that was done with a friend of ours here in town. But it was a really fun experience, man. I'm glad to have it out there. It's got our single Movies on there, which is just an awesome song that we really felt strongly about. And really happy to have it done by somebody like Matt, who's become a good friend of ours over the years.
And then the video for Movies is pretty kick-ass.
Oh, thank you, man. We had a lot of fun making that. We got to use a local venue here in Houston called the Wildcatter Saloon for a lot of the scenes, and then another local studio here called Magic Studios for like the White Room scenes. It was a lot of fun. We wanted to go real big with that one and do something like that we hadn't done before. So then with full production with some acting in it, you know, and really pull all the stops. So it was a lot of fun making that.
Yeah. Now, what other bands have you toured with or played in front of?
Man, we've got a chance to play with a lot of big name acts, you know, people like, for example, modern bands these days, I was talking about people like Bad Flower and Grandson and stuff like that. You know, obviously we've done the Bon Jovi thing. We played alongside of people like The Struts and A Perfect Circle and Puddle of Mud, you know, big acts back in the day, Saving Abel and stuff like that. We've done some really cool things over our years, and really excited and blessed to be able to play with so many legends. legendary act.
So wrapping things up here with you, Nick, what's the future of Hold On Hollywood? I mean, what do you guys got planned? Anything going on right now? I know it's kind of a difficult question in these, you know, strange times, but...
Yeah, normally I'd have a great answer for you, but right now, man, we're just trying to take things as they go. No one really knows how things are going to be a month from now because it's been full of surprises. Down here in Texas where we're at, you know, things have opened up and they've closed, and they've opened back up again and they've closed, you know. And we're not some super big national touring act who's just got shows booked all over the world. We can go wherever things are good, you know. So we're kind of, you know, just kind of playing it all by ear. I guess our thing right now is to kind of just keep pushing our songs that we have. Because, you know, right after we released them, everything shut down. So yeah. We didn't really get a good time to push them, which kind of sucked. You know, a lot of time and money went into making this record. And so I guess right now that things are getting back normal, that's our main goal, is to try to push that as much as we can and try to give it that time of day that we wanted to give it originally.
Yeah, well, I think that you're in the same situation as hundreds and thousands of other bands out there right now.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. Yeah. It really is.
Well, Nick, good luck to you guys and the guys from Hold On Hollywood. We'll keep an eye out for you guys, hopefully maybe touring sometime in 2021, and who knows what happens. So,
hopefully, man. We're looking forward to it. We really want to get out there on the road, so I hope so.
All right, brother. Well, listen, you be well. Thanks for the time, and thanks for checking in, and hit us up again next year when things get back to normal, okay?
For sure, man. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Check those guys out if you get a chance. There you have it. Hold On Hollywood from Houston, Texas. Got to thank Nick for calling in, as well as the guys from Royal Blood, Mike and Ben. Thank you so much for the time. And like I said in the interview, and I'm dead serious, one of the most amazing bands I've ever seen live. Just two guys up on stage. The sound that comes off of that stage is remarkable. So, yeah, if you get a chance, well, when things open back up, definitely check out Royal Blood. In the meantime, like I said, Jack Russell, I've already talked to him. That's going to be coming up here in a future episode of Talkin' Rock. And we have a ton more coming up as well. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.